Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, so adi korup, guten tag, jao viviva katbang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison kilitary industrial core poor nation in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankrupt bribocratic corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of murdered animals. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And, well, look at how the world cheers, huh, when under a couple of dozen people are rescued or saved. Well, so you can start applauding for me right now. I'm here to rescue not 20, 21, 22, two dozen people. I am here to rescue and save millions. So start the global celebration. Start waving the flags now. You know, you don't have to be buried deep in the earth by a mining accident or a dietary accident. Actually, after all, it is an accident that you've been eating meat and dairy. How did that happen, right? You accidentally mistook them for food. And anyone can understand that mistake. You know, rotting flesh and pus and blood-filled liquid, after all, are so appetizing. I can see how you could accidentally eat them, and your blood vessels could actually clog up like a mine shaft, and then you too are buried deep underground. But it's a little harder to get out of that coffin, you know. No matter how oversized it is, and you know, oversized coffins right now are all the rage. But you don't have to be down there, you know, your body buried deep within the earth. Just take your head out of the sand. You know, would the world cheer if it were millions rescued and saved and instead of, you know, under two dozen? What if millions of people walked out of hospitals like walking out of the mine shaft? What about the 1.5 million Americans who go permanently underground each year? You know, what if people were rescued from that fate, huh? Saved from the heart disease and cancer and stroke and diabetes and obesity. Start cheering, huh? Start waving the flag. Actually, the cheering did start this weekend with the first annual International Vegan Hero Awards presented in Malibu. Of course, every vegan is a hero. I cheer for you if you're a vegan. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my hero, for saving 100 animals every year. Thank you for saving an acre of trees every year. Thank you for saving over 300,000 gallons of water every year, just in the process of growing your food. Yes, every vegan is a hero. Not participating in the generation of 51% of greenhouse gas emissions blamed on meat and dairy production and consumption by a World Watch Institute study, you know. We cheer when we save, you know, 20 miners. How about if we saved the world? What if we saved the world from global warming, climate change? Wow, what kind of hero. Be a hero. Save the world. Go vegan. If you haven't done so yet, well, it's not about blame, right? It's not about blame. It's all about taking responsibility. And let's see. Well, just recently in the news, for what are you responsible if you have not yet gone vegan? Well, the University of Washington and NOAA report that even the deepest, coldest ocean waters are now warming, absorbing the heat. So not only is sea level rising because of melting ice from glaciers and snowpacks, but water expands at higher temperatures, and the greatest rise in ocean temperature right now is happening around the South Pole of Antarctica. And it's not like the glaciers aren't melting, though, to contribute to that also, because there's another study, and the glaciers in Argentina are melting. Argentina with the most extensive glaciers in South America, the Uppsala Glacier, the second largest in South America, melting at a rate of 200 meters per year due to climate change, mining, and the petroleum industries. And what else, if you are not vegan yet, for what might you claim responsibility for your share of the 51% of greenhouse gas emissions? Well, there's now a deadly tropical disease appearing in the northern United States. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control detecting the deadly and contagious Cryptococcus gutti fungal infection in the Pacific Northwest. Usually it's in warmer climates like Australia and South Asia and Africa. But Dr. Ted Shetler of the Science and Environmental Health Network says it is being caused by climate change. So you see why an International Vegan Hero Award is so appropriate and timely. And the 2010 International Vegan Hero Award goes to Supreme Master Ching Hai, as we are presenting in Malibu this weekend, for global disaster relief rescue efforts from catastrophes, many of which are the result of climate change. So Supreme Master Ching Hai and her followers are seeing it directly because they are involved with disaster relief and are putting two and two together. So in appreciation for rescue efforts, including hundreds of thousands of vegan meals served to Haitian earthquake victims, in appreciation for Loving Hut vegan restaurants around the world and the compassionate and educational content of Supreme Master TV, also for organizing global climate change conferences, and for supporting Go Vegan with Bob Linden, that award goes to Supreme Master Ching Hai and her followers. Also at Malibu this weekend, I present the International Vegan Hero Award to the founders of the International Fund for Africa, Antenna Roba and Sebla Nebielul, who are opposing factory farming and GMOs in Africa and establishing the Ethiopian Vegan Society and shutting down the dog pits that were used for euthanasia and opening a horse and donkey sanctuary and saving human babies, introducing neonatal care in Africa. So an amazing award, amazing accomplishment. So they are certainly deserving. And also this year's award will go to Haitian musician and activist King Wawa, promoting veganism and dome shelter housing in Haiti. So I thank everyone for being a true hero, being a vegan, and also promoting veganism. It's our job, right? Once we know it, who are we to deprive people of the information that could save their lives, the animals, and the planet? You can go vegan too. These days, it's really easy. There's really no excuse to continue to be a fleshitarian. Well, unless you're looking maybe for a cheap way out on a Halloween costume, you can always go as yourself and say you're a walking graveyard. It's kind of scary, huh? Coming up for Halloween, also the Orange County People for Animals doing a zombie walk. So you can check their website and their meetup group for that. Orange County People for Animals and the zombie walk. Isn't that what people do when they get out of the car and walk into one of those slashed food restaurants? You know, McDevil's, Murder King, Wendy's, Kills Jr., Killing for Cash, KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Jack the Ripper in a Box. Really, I mean, that food is really more of a trick than a treat, especially for children, huh? Which is safer anyway, a razor blade and an apple or a slashed food restaurant kids' meal, huh? We will explore how, basically the child abuse that is being sold by slashed food restaurants. We'll explore that in the weeks ahead leading up to Halloween. And it's really scary, huh? What else is scary in the Halloween season? How about the deadly superbug, MRSA, that kills more people every year than AIDS And, you know, meat is no treat when it comes to MRSA, which comes with the dead pig, cow, and chicken you accidentally mistake as food. We will discuss the deadly superbug that comes with your meat next week on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, when we interview David Kirby, who is the author of Animal Factory, The Looming Threat of Industrial Pig, Dairy, and Poultry Farms on Humans and the Environment. So David Kirby, our guest next week. Also in the weeks ahead, the founder of PETA, Alex Pacheco, who's out with us in Malibu this weekend. He'll tell us what his latest project is coming up in the not-too-distant future on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And but today, we will talk, on today's show, we will talk to Rick O'Barry, who gained worldwide attention with the Academy Award-winning documentary The Cove. We'll find out what's happening to the dolphins right now in Japan. Please don't buy a ticket for SeaWorld, please. We all support solar. I mean, give Malibu Solar a call, get solar for your house. And, you know, we're all supporting solar and alternative energy. Well, maybe the endangered desert tortoise isn't so excited about solar. Why not? Is there a way to do solar right and a way to do solar wrong? Well, coming up on today's show, we'll talk to wildlife biologist Laura Cunningham. It looks like we need to think a little bit more about what we're doing. Anyhow, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, listener-supported animal liberation media infiltration. And please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, go to goveganradio.org.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
What's the first thing that Carl Myers, MD and cancer specialist, did when he retired from his medical career? He opened a vegan restaurant, Nature's Express in Berkeley at 1823 Solano Avenue. Healthy by design. Nature's Express. Most medical students flip burgers to put themselves through medical school. Dr. Myers put himself through a medical career so he could flip burgers. And you'll flip over Nature's Express burgers made in-house. Original, spicy black bean, almond sunflower, lentil, and chicken alternative patties. Check out the menu at natures-express.com and check out the food at Nature's Express, 1823 Solano Avenue in Berkeley.
Based on the latest satellite data, NASA climate scientists predict nearly all ice could be gone from the Arctic Ocean by the end of summer 2012. NASA scientist James Hansen said, "We have passed tipping points. We have not passed the point of no return. It's going to require a quick turn in direction." For more urgent details on saving our planet, going vegan and green, visit SupremeMasterTV.com. That's SupremeMasterTV.com.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, listener supported, our 10th anniversary coming up in January. Free speech is expensive. You can make a tax deductible donation to support the program so we can buy the airtime. The nonprofit is Go Vegan Radio. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.org. Today, I am honored to have Rick O'Barry on the program once again. He has been on in years past. You know him originally on the other side of the issue as the trainer of Flipper, and you saw him at the Academy Award presentation, The Cove, and I think we should update the situation and see what's going on
this year in Japan with the Dolphins. Rick, how have you been? How are things going?
Well, things are going. We continue to keep the pressure on the Japanese government to shut down the annual dolphin slaughter and keep the pressure on the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums, who allow these captures to take place in Taiji. And it's still the captures that for these dolphin swim programs that is the economic underpinning of the dolphin slaughter. So, yeah, putting pressure on WASA to police their own industry.
So it's the capture of the dolphins, swimming with the dolphins, that's keeping this going. Did we hear something about a moratorium or a delay on the kill this year? What happened?
Well, they're not killing bottlenose dolphin. I mean, I think all of the external pressure, all of the, you know, this town has become infamous. Little town, 3,444 people, and yet they have an extremely high international media profile because of the exposure. So, yeah, they've stopped killing bottlenose dolphins. They continue to kill pilot whales and resource dolphins and others. But the numbers are coming down, I've noticed. They haven't killed as many this year so far. And just because we have people on the ground there with cameras and we'll keep doing that from September through March when the killing season is open.
The killing season is September through March. That's a long killing season.
It's a hard place to be. It's very remote. It's very expensive. But we have to do it. I don't know what else we can do.
Sure. Well, I mean, did you ever expect to have you couldn't have imagined the kind of exposure that you would get for the issue with an Academy Award documentary, The Cove. So what effects have you seen from the movie being out? What's happened after that?
Well, the movie is now popular in Tokyo. There's a right-wing element, radical, extreme militants who have been protesting the theaters. Well, they've stopped now. They've given up. And they actually brought a lot of attention to the film. So what their strategy backfired. You know, you tell young kids, don't go see a movie. First thing they're going to do is go see the movie.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And that's helpful because if Japanese people see the movie, they're going to, or Westerners. Westerners are going to think twice before they buy a ticket for a dolphin show if they see that movie. And in Japan, people will learn about mercury contamination in food, dolphins and other whales, tuna. It's all contaminated, the whole food chain, because of our coal-fired plants. And we don't have time to go into that on the radio show, but that information is at our website, savejapandolphins.org.
Savejapandolphins.org.
We're preaching to the converted. They don't eat anything with a mother or a face anyhow, so.
Well, we're on real radio stations, so we're not actually talking to all of the converted, but we would like them to be, and they should know anyone caught out of the ocean could be contaminated with mercury and heavy metals and PCBs and all of that. Talk a little. There are still probably, you know, one or two people who don't know of your conversion. You came from the other side of the industry, and how did you come from being a trainer of dolphins and training Flipper to be the foremost voice against dolphin exploitation right now?
Well, it should be a natural progression for any dolphin trainer. I mean, anybody who spends any time with them at some point comes to realize that they are free-ranging, large-brained, sonic creatures that are self-aware and are in a concrete tank doing stupid tricks for money. You know, all the trainers know that if they've been there a while. And so that's what happened to me. I used to take the television set down with a long extension cord so that Flipper could watch Flipper on TV. Well, when I realized that they were self-aware, the next progression is, well, what the hell are they doing in captivity? So I walked away from that industry. And that was Earth Day 1970. 40 years ago. I'm surprised more trainers haven't done that.
Yeah, well, they should. I mean, it looks like being in these captive parks is a dangerous job, too. It looks like trainers are dying and orcas are dying, and just another orca death also. So obviously the animals are not doing too well in captivity.
Well, that's been going on since 1938. It's just been covered up. They have the publicity machine, a well-oiled machine that what usually happens, and there's been several deaths and lots of injuries, and there are lawsuits, and the lawsuits are settled out of court, and the deal is we won't talk about this, and we receive millions of dollars, and that's how it's been all of these years. But this latest one, well, we don't know what's going to happen. We know the SeaWorld being sued again, and their lawyers will come in and probably settle out of court, and it'll be hushed up, and there'll be a gag order, and that'll be the end of that, and the show goes on.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the way it's been all this, all these years.
Mm-hmm. And so what's happening this year? Right now, you're not there in Japan at the moment. Was it too dangerous for you to go back there?
I thought it was. I thought it was. I was there September 1st. In Tokyo, the work is really in Tokyo now, although we have people at the Cove with cameras. Leilani Munter is there, and a few others, and that's helpful. But you know, the problem is there at the Cove in Taiji, but the solution is in Tokyo. The Japanese people have to step up, so we can step down. The Japanese government, fisheries agency, has to stop issuing permits for these villages to kill dolphins. So the work is really there. It's less dramatic trying to connect with the Japanese people and work with them to get them to stand up against this. But that's really where the work is. That's how it's going to end. It's not going to end by Westerners getting in their face and screaming at them and telling them what they can do and what they can't do and threatening them. You know, that may work on the in the Antarctic. But one size doesn't fit all. It doesn't work in Taiji.
Yeah, and there was a virtual blackout of the information in Japan, right? I mean, the people there didn't know what was going on. Yeah,
and they still don't know. The majority of people don't know. It's the media is controlled by the government. That's the bottom line. NHK, which is the big television station everybody watches, it's run by the government, and they spin the news however they want to spin it, and it's unfortunate. Freedom of the press is a wonderful thing if you happen to own a printing press. That's how it works in Japan.
More and more, I feel that's how it works here too. So, how did a vegan radio show get on the air? That I don't understand. That works against the interests of the media, but perhaps nobody at Clear Channel has ever heard this show. So don't tell them anything, you know. So keep it quiet. So you have people who are at the Cove now, and there's a blog on your website. And what's with the museum there? Isn't there a whaling museum?
Yeah, there's a place called the Taiji Whale Museum, and it's a misnomer. It's a whaling museum, and it's dedicated to the, you know, it's all about killing whales and celebrating whaling. And they are, it's also a dolphinarium. They have dolphins there, and you can actually eat a dolphin sandwich while you watch the dolphin show there. Just so, Taiji Whale Museum is a member of the Japanese Association of Zoos and Aquariums, and in fact, there are 50 dolphinariums in a country the size of California. Many of them belong to JASA. JASA is a direct member of WASA, the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums, like SeaWorld and the Seaquarium and Marineland and all of these places and zoos belong to it. It's the big umbrella group. And so our work is trying to get them to enforce their own code of ethics and police their own industry, but they refuse to do that. You know, they'll put a politically correct statement on their website saying, oh, yeah, we're against the dolphin slaughter in Japan. But they don't actually do anything to stop it. Nothing. Won't lift a finger to get their dolphin trainers out of Taiji. So I'm really more upset with the dolphin trainers than I am the dolphin hunters, the Japanese dolphin hunters in Taiji, because in some ways they know not what they do. They really think they're fish. But the dolphin trainers who are there know better. They know better. They refuse to police their own industry and shut that thing down. Look, they have the money to shut it down. SeaWorld alone last year made $1.4 billion in profit. Not one penny of that will be spent working on these issues.
Well, all the more reason to boycott SeaWorld and these captive animal parks and the you know, these are basically big bathtubs for animals who need to be free. We're talking to Rick O'Barry. You know him from The Cove and his work against the Japanese dolphin slaughter. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. So we have a couple of minutes left. What should we be doing now in the United States and around the world? We have a global audience. So what's next for us?
Well, first thing is, and you've already said it, don't buy a ticket for a dolphin show. It sounds very simplistic, you know, but that really is the solution to the dolphin captivity issue. As far as the dolphins, and I, by the way, I'm just getting in from Egypt, where there were four dolphins shipped from Taiji to a hole in the ground in the Sahara Desert. And there were five more coming, and because we showed up there, those five won't be coming into Egypt. We blocked any further imports, but these fourth got through. We don't know exactly what's going to happen next. To wait till the next shoe drops, but if people want to support our efforts, go to SaveJapanDolphins.org and take action. Make a donation, sign the petition. We have 1.7 million signatures for President Obama. Hoping he'll get involved.
Certainly hope so, yeah. So it's SaveJapanDolphins.org, and do not buy a ticket for SeaWorld. When you do that, you're creating the demand. You're paying for the slaughter. So listen to Rick. He knows. Don't do it. Don't go to the captive animal shows, and go to SaveJapanDolphins.org. We have maybe 30 seconds left. Anything else you wanted to get to that we didn't that's been going on?
No, I think we covered it. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you your interest in this.
Sure. Well, it's an ongoing thing. It would be nice to have a time that comes when there's no need to invite you on. That would be great. So thanks, Rick. Thanks for being with us again today.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, pleasure. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. How now? No cow? Get hip to the strip. Primal Strips, the delicious, high-energy, high-protein, meatless snack from Primal Spirit Foods. When you're on the go, go with Primal Strips, the meatless meat alternative that even non-vegans love. Primal Strips have become a favorite with bicyclists, climbers, and outdoor enthusiasts. 100% vegan and kosher, no cholesterol, no GMOs, preservatives, or artificial colors. Voted best new vegetarian snack by Veg News. Primal Strips, six phenomenal flavors. Thai peanut, mesquite lime, teriyaki, hot and spicy, hickory smoked, Texas barbecue. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com. Visit your natural food store for Primal Strips. Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant, an oasis in Oakland for 14 years, invites you to enjoy its weekday vegan lunch buffet, 11 a.m. to 2:30. Affordably priced from just $5.50 to $7.50. Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant, 1301 Franklin Street, downtown Oakland, specializing in vegan Vietnamese cuisine. Try the sauteed garlic vegan beef, the gourmet lemongrass vegan chicken. See the extensive menu at goldenlotusvegie.com, goldenlotusvege.com. For dessert, vegan mocha cake, vegan cheesecake, pumpkin cake, cupcakes, 100% vegan, no MSG, fresh every day. Lunch buffet weekdays, 11 to 2:30, starting at just $5.50.
Golden Lotus Vegetarian, Franklin at 13th in Oakland, 510-893-0383. Golden Lotus Vegetarian.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, listener-supported animal liberation media infiltration. We have to purchase airtime each and every week, as we have done for, well, in January, it'll be 10 years now. It can't be done without your help. You can make a tax-deductible donation online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Don't the animals deserve a voice in the mainstream media? Of course they do, and we have to look at things from the animals' perspective sometimes, even when we don't know, you know, if what the situation is for the animals. I mean, many of us are very supportive of alternative energy and solar, of course, but it looks like we have to look at it and make sure it's done right. So today I want to talk to Laura Cunningham, who has worked as a wildlife biologist since 1992, employed by the California Department of Fish and Game and the Biological Research Division of the National Park Service, specializing in reptiles and amphibians. She has also worked as a contract biologist, which has involved salvage of tortoises, such as going on right now with a big solar project in the Mojave Desert. She's also an artist and naturalist, and she just published a book on historical ecology of California called A State of Change, Forgotten Landscapes of California, illustrating the condors and elk and salmon and grizzlies back when they were happy before European intervention. And I don't know how happy the tortoises are about intervention going on right now. Laura, I see the LA Times article says, tortoises make way for solar site, as if, oh, it's okay, pack up the U-Haul and we're happy to move. Tell us about what's going on with construction projects in the desert as you see them and the effects on wildlife.
Well, yeah, I've learned recently this year that there are good solar projects, bad solar projects, and truly ugly solar projects. Not all renewable energy is good. It's would be really good to place these very large-scale solar projects on disturbed land, like farmland that's already been plowed, or even better yet, on rooftops, put the solar panels on the built environment. But what's happening this year in Ivanpah Valley, which is in eastern California, is they're placing almost a 4,000-acre solar project on pristine Mojave Desert scrub. And this is just an area I've hiked in many times. It has bighorn sheep coming down from the mountains on a fan grazing on the creosote. It has desert tortoises which burrow into the ground in deep burrows, and the burrows create homes for burrowing owls, sidewinder rattlesnakes, numerous lizards, and there are also kangaroo rats, pocket mice, birds, there's golden eagles I just saw last week there. So unfortunately, when you have a giant industrial solar project, you have to basically destroy the 4,000 acres to put this project there. So what they're doing this week, they just got their approval. It's public land managed by Bureau of Land Management. They have an army of 50 tortoise biologists. This is a job I've done before, and we go out and place a little fence around the entire project. You even dig it down into the ground, and then everything inside the fence has to be dug out. Every burrow, every tortoise has to be excavated from its underground home, and they relocate them. In this case, they're going to move them on the other side of the fence, so that's good. They're not moving them very far. But when you do this, previous studies of translocating tortoises like this have shown that 50% of them die because they have a home burrow that they are very aware of their territory, when you move them, they don't have a burrow. They have to dig one. It takes a while, and then they're out in the open and prey to coyotes and other predators because they're unfamiliar with the new territory. And tortoises also have the ability to dig a little shallow dish on the desert surface where rainwater collects, and then they know where this little rainwater pond is, and they go drink, because even desert tortoises need to drink water. And when you move them away from these known localities where they can drink water, they try to get back. And I've seen tortoises come and push against the fence, the project boundary fence, trying to get back to their known territory. So unfortunately, this hasn't been discussed, but building a gigantic solar project on the Mojave Desert habitat has some implications for the animals.
Hmm. That's very, very sad. That's a sad vision of the tortoise at the fence trying to get at her water. Aren't the tortoises protected in some way?
Yes, they are federally threatened, and so the Endangered Species Act requires that they not simply be killed, but that an army of 50 biologists must be paid to move them. But it's pretty much a salvage operation. I mean, you're moving the tortoises out of harm's way and trying to save them and put them in another area, but it's a little iffy that it works. I mean, other animals that aren't protected are just destroyed. I mean, I've walked in front of these bulldozers, and snakes get cut in half, kangaroo rats are dug up and killed, and it's very bad. If they do kill a tortoise accidentally, it can stop the whole project.
Mm. Well, this is very, very sad indeed, and especially considering that half the tortoises die, you say. Well, don't they realize that? Doesn't that shouldn't that put a halt to the machinery if half of the tortoises die, or they sort of overlook that and say, well, they're being moved, so it's okay?
Yeah, this is a strange year because the politics is overriding the science, and our rush to get as much renewable energy as possible, which I'm for renewable energy, but I think we ought to maybe slow down and plan this better. But in our headlong rush to get as much megawatts out there, we are just going roughshod over the science and what should really be done to recover the desert tortoise. I mean, I heard a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist admit this. These projects, we can't recover the tortoise doing this. This is really just about saving a couple of animals out of the bulldozers. That's all we have time for because we have deadlines. And the deadline for this particular Ivanpah solar project is the company gets massive federal subsidies. If they can start the project before December 31st, 2010, they get Department of Energy loan guarantees to the tune of $1.4 billion, and they get an American Recovery and Reinvestment Act grant, a grant that's free money from the taxpayers of 30% to cover their construction costs. So when there's this much money available, the deadlines are so important that I'm afraid the tortoise is being shoved to the side.
Mm. Well, that's amazing. Can anything be done? What can people who are concerned about tortoises and other animals who are affected by these projects, what would we do?
I would write your Congress people. We actually had a coalition to try to get some alternatives called Solar Done Right. We have a website, solardoneright.org, which says, put this on the rooftops. Put this in disturbed land. Don't put it on tortoise habitat. And we actually went to Washington, D.C. in September to try to convince our Congress people that killing tortoises like this and all this beautiful desert habitat is not the right answer. And we were amazed to find that we were the first group of people to come and ask for this. All the lobby people have been the solar companies lobbying very hard to get this subsidy money, and saying, yes, this is all great. Let us do whatever we want. And then, unfortunately, some of the big environmental groups have also supported this, too, without much planning. So I was amazed to see that we were the first people to say, slow down and let's plan this better. California Senator Dianne Feinstein's office said, wow, we didn't even know this was happening. Thank you for coming and telling us that tortoises are being impacted this badly. So I would recommend, please write Congress, write your congresspeople and tell them to put solar panels on the roofs. Mm-hmm. We don't want to destroy our public lands and deserts.
Right, and we should realize that the deserts are teeming with life. I mean, we think of the desert as just, you know, a sandbox, but look at what you're saying. Who else will be affected? Birds are affected by this. Did you say the birds could be zapped and I mean, by the heat of what's generated, or what other effects?
Yeah,
are?
This particular project is sort of a high tech type of solar power plant that uses power towers. It has 173,000 mirrors on the ground arrayed in circles around a central tower. And so what happens is the sun bounces off the mirrors, and the mirrors are aimed to the top of the tower, which is 460 feet tall, and there will be three of these. And at the top of the tower is a receiver that has water, and the concentrated solar beams will flash that water into steam instantly. I mean, it's extremely hot when you get 4,000 acres of mirrors concentrating all that sunlight into one spot. And there's a smaller version of this power tower in Daggett, California, and it zapped birds and insects weekly. Swallows, swifts flying into the beams were singed and burned and fell to the ground. So we've been asking agencies, well, what happens when, say, a golden eagle flies into this beam? Golden eagles are actually fully protected by Fish and Wildlife Service. You're not allowed to take any of them, kill any of them. I mean, this could literally stop the project. And there's been such a rush, no one's thought of this. Well, what if a golden eagle gets burned in this giant death ray? So there's some problems that have not been planned. And I'd also like to say, too, there are a bunch of rare plants. We're not just talking about animals, but there are rare plants, such as white-margined pinstemon, that are just going to be destroyed. And these are plants that should be listed as endangered. They're very rare in California.
Mm. And, yeah, I've been concerned. In the past, I heard about the wind turbines, birds getting caught in the propellers or sliced up in the propellers. So it would be nice to think a little in advance of what the effect will be on the animals.
Yeah, we just need to slow down and have a national energy resource plan where we say, don't put these things here, put them there. And I say I'm completely for mitigating the impacts of climate change, but we also need to mitigate the impacts to our tortoises and birds and rare plants in the desert.
We've been talking to Laura Cunningham, wildlife biologist, naturalist, and artist. And we have about 30 seconds left, Laura. Anything we didn't get to that you wanted to, or contacts or advice? Or?
Yeah, people will tell me, well, shouldn't we maybe sacrifice some of our deserts for the greater good of the planet? And I tell them, no, I don't think I'm ready to make the desert tortoise go extinct, even for a global good. I think we need to act locally and remember that and remember our backyards. So take a look at solardoneright.org, and there's some ideas there about alternatives to good renewable energy, good solar that will not hurt animals. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura. We appreciate your being with us here today. If you missed any of the interview, it is permanently archived at goveganradio.org, along with our Rick O'Barry interview regarding the cove and the Japanese dolphins. And please support this program so it can be on every week so the tortoises have a voice for podcasts and archives. And to make an online donation, please go to goveganradio.org. www.jeffandvanessa.org.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world, Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas, made from local organic GMO-free ingredients, sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798, vegetarianhouse.us. What is your dog really saying to you? It's time to take me for a walk? Yeah, that was easy. Could you please get the ball for me from under the couch? Right, okay. How come everyone in the family is vegan except me? I don't want to eat the slaughterhouse floor sweepings and commercial dog food. And don't you know that dogs often are allergic to animal products and pet foods? I want V-Dog, high-protein vegan dog food. Order at 888-280-8364. Shipping is free. I want to be like the 10 generations of dogs that have thrived on V-Dog, enjoying improved dental hygiene, skin and coat, digestion, weight management, and more energy. I want my V-Dog now. Call 888-280-8364 or order online at vdogfood.com. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Well, if you've been with us for today's program, you know that the dolphins and tortoises probably would like you to make a tax-deductible donation to support this radio program. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Or for archives and podcasts, and to donate online, go to goveganradio.org. If you'd like to advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services, email bob@goveganradio.com. And, you know, Halloween is coming up. Go vegan or die. So you have parties happening in the Bay Area in Defense of Animals with its annual Halloween party. You can go to IDAUSA.org for information on that. Orange County People for Animals has its zombie walk coming up. And if you go shopping for Halloween candy right about now, you should make sure that the candy is vegan. And a lot of the popular candy today is vegan. I'm not going to attest to any nutritional value, but vegan candies do include Airheads, Airheads Taffy, and Blow Pops, Brock's, Cinnamon Hard Candy, Root Beer Barrels, and Starbrights, Chico Sticks, and Cry Babies, Dots and Dum Dums, Fireballs, Hubba Bubba Bubblegum, Jolly Ranchers, Lollipops, Hard Candy, Juju Bees, Juju Fruits, all of these Juju Fruits, all vegan, Mary Jane's, Sweet Tarts, and Panda Licorice, and Laffy Taffy, and Lemon Heads. That's Mary Jane's regular and peanut butter kisses, and Swedish Fish. So all of those are vegan. So who wants to hand out something so so deadly and dangerous to the kids. Make it a treat, not a trick. Thanks for technical production assistance to Evan Donovan and Dennis Stovall. Let's be friends on Facebook. You'll find me at Bob Linden, and you can cyberstalk us on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. Leave a comment on the listener comment line. You can call 315-VEGAN-20. And again, advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. You can email me, bob@goveganradio.com, with your listener comments also. Okay, it was a pleasure to have you with us here today. We'll return next week if you send a tax-deductible donation, and we can bribe the radio stations once again to put on a vegan radio program. How shocking, huh? Okay, thanks for listening. Please love animals. Don't eat them. Don't wear them. Go vegan.
No, sure.
Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. And on Green 960, do you find a show more greener than the most green greenest? Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Sundays at 3 p.m. Because isn't going green ultimately about saving the planet? And aren't we worried about saving the planet from climate-changing global warming? And if you listen to Go Vegan with Bob Linden, you know that a World Watch Institute study on climate change blames meat and dairy production and consumption for 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So if you have not decided to go vegan yet, please listen to Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday at 3, and we'll summarize what you've been causing, such as warming waters in the deep Antarctic Ocean, contributing to a rise in sea level. Argentina's glaciers are melting. The Arctic ice region is reportedly further diminished, and a deadly tropical disease has just arrived in the northern United States. Can you think of any other reasons to get rid of meat? Well, how about the deadly MRSA superbug that kills more people every year than AIDS? Are you getting it from pork, chicken, or cow carcass that you eat? None of that is for sale at Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara in San Jose, who makes broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden in the Bay Area possible. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. Visit a loving hut near you in Milpitas, 516 Barber Lane in Palo Alto, 165 University Avenue. And for a location near you, visit lovinghut.us. Tonight you have Vegan Bollywood Night with dinner at 6:30 and a Bollywood film screening at 7:30 at Maharani Restaurant, 1122 Post near Polk, $20 all-you-can-eat vegan buffet. Tonight's film, The Three Idiots. It's the highest-grossing Bollywood film of all time. Best Film Award 2009. Not about idiots, it's about three engineering students thinking creatively and independently in a conformist world that calls them idiots. Adopt a lovable vegan, a bunny rabbit. Adoptions are tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and every third Saturday at George, Berkeley's 4th Street Shopping District, 1824 4th Street. And who's my guest this week? I'm not sure yet. Will it be Rick O'Barry, whom you know from The Cove? Will it be PETA founder Alex Pacheco? Will it be Laura Cunningham on the plight of tortoises being displaced by huge industrial desert solar plants? Tune in and be surprised. And be my friend, please, on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. Follow us on Twitter, Go Vegan Radio. And for archives and podcasts, and to support this program with a tax-deductible donation, you will also be supporting Progressive Talk Radio. Visit goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. Again, it's goveganradio.org.